wanted to take a few minutes to just share about Forbid Them Not and give you a little bit more information of who we are and what we do. And some of the things I had originally planned to share, I think some others will be sharing later, so I'm going to change it just a little bit. But I did want to start with a very simple fact, and that is that in the world today, there are over 143 million children that are considered orphans. That's roughly 2.4% of the world's population. And that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of children. And in the United States, it's approximately 41% of our children that are growing up in fatherless homes. And if you look in your folders, right below the schedule, there's a sheet that has all of the counties in Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho, and the percentages of children in those counties that are growing up in single-parent homes. If you look at Yellowstone County, which is where we are this morning, it's 31% of our children are growing up in single-parent homes. About 75% of those are single-mother homes, so fatherless homes. Our neighbors to the south, Bighorn County, is at 48%. That's a huge number. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that later this afternoon. But statistically speaking, the future that fatherless children face is very, very bleak. And I know that Pastor Spilger and Miss Yvonne will be sharing some of the statistics along those lines later this afternoon. But just in short, they face a greater risk of drug and alcohol abuse, of being the victim of or committing violent crimes. They're more likely to live in poverty. They're more likely to have mental health, behavioral, or emotional challenges. They're 2 times more likely to commit suicide. Those are some pretty serious things. And when I think about those, I always have to stop and ask myself, if these were my children, wouldn't I want someone to take the hope of Christ to them? And yet in the United States, nationwide, not looking at any particular denomination, just churches that consider themselves Christian, only 1% of American churches have any type of outreach to single-parent families. So we have 41% of our kids growing up in fatherless homes and only 1% of our churches trying to reach them. That's a pretty scary ratio. So Forbid Them Not, it was started in 2008, and I just want to give you just a little bit of a background of how it came into being. When I say the first words, you're going to think, oh my goodness, she's going to tell us her whole life story. But when I was 12 years old, my parents were on deputation raising support to come west as church planting missionaries. And during that time, the Lord had been working in my heart about missions. And I kind of just, well, I don't know, maybe it's just because my parents are missionaries, you know, how you kind of work through those things. And we were in a missions conference in Louisville, Kentucky, and the Lord just got a hold of my heart. And that night I went forward and I surrendered and I said, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And that was when he put on my heart a burden for orphans. Well, after the service, pretty much everyone had left. My parents were talking with the pastor and some other people. And I think this one lady just kind of took pity on my sisters and I. And she came up and she started talking to us. She said, what are you going to be when you grow up? Well, having just made this decision, I very confidently said, I'm going to be a missionary. And I think she thought, oh, that's kind of cute. The missionary's daughter is going to be a missionary. So she said, well, where are you going to be a missionary to? And I said, well, I think God wants me to be a missionary to orphans. And she started laughing. And she said, don't you know that there's no such things as missionaries or as orphans anymore? That's just something you read about in children's stories. And that really caused a conflict in my heart, because here I was sure this is what the Lord said, and here's this grown-up saying, there's no such thing as orphans anymore. And we know that that's not true. And as I was going through junior high and high school, that really kind of caused some conflict in my heart as I was considering what I would do after high school. And I started walking away from that burden, that calling. I started excusing it, say, well, my parents were missionaries. That's why I had that burden. It was just something for while I was in my parents' home. And the Lord used Pastor Spilger and his daughter, who is my best friend, to kind of come alongside me right after I graduated from high school and say, what about that commitment that you made? And I prayed about it, and the Lord just kept working on my heart. And during that time, I was doing study on the heart of God versus the heart of man, and just going through the scriptures and looking at every place where the word heart is used. That's like 835 times. It took me a while. And I got to the book of Ecclesiastes, and it says there that it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not keep it. And I was working at a print shop downtown at the time. And, you know, in those days, printers didn't have background printing. So if you're printing something, you just had to sit and wait. So while I was waiting, I would look up the next verse. And that morning, I read that verse in Ecclesiastes, and it just hit me between the eyes. And so I started praying, okay, Lord, I told you that I would go. Show me where you would have me. And that was in, I believe, June of 1995. By September, I was in Russia. And the Lord just, he just works. And 2 weeks before I left, I found out that the ministry had just started working with, guess who? Orphans. So whenever I share my testimony, and there are children around, and we have a couple in here this morning, don't doubt what the Lord tells you. He does speak to children as well. And if he has put a burden in your heart, don't let others distract you from it. Over the next 10 years, I thought I was going to Russia for 9 months. The Lord stretched it out to 10 years. And over those 10 years, I began to see the great needs of the fatherless children. We had about anywhere from 40 to, I think, 120 children in our orphanage during that time. And, you know, you think of orphans, you think of hunger, you think of so many things that we tend to just say, well, that's that third world country, or that's that culture. But many of the issues that the children there face are very similar to the issues that the children here face. Things like alcohol. Probably 80 to 90% of the children that we worked with in some way were there because of alcohol-related circumstances, whether it was that their parents had been killed by a drunk driver or their parents themselves were alcoholics. We face similar problems here in Montana. Alcohol is an enormous part of the Montana culture. It's a damaging, destructive part of the culture here. I saw those things, and I also saw that there was very little church involvement. And so the children would grow up, they would age out at about 15, and then they were on their own. And so in the Russian culture, it's accepted that most children that are growing up in orphanages, they're either going to end up in prison or the morgue. That's the future that most of them expect. Many of them, I think it's about 15% at the last I heard, commit suicide before they're even 18 years old. It's a very, very sad state. And I was looking at this, and I did not see churches coming alongside of these children, and I realized they have no one to walk alongside of them. They might have somebody come in and do a Sunday school class, or they might go to church once, but they don't really have anyone walking alongside of them. And then I came back to the States. I always say I did things backwards. I went to the mission field first, and then I went to Bible school. And while I was in Bible college, because I had already been on the mission field and because I had seen those things there and I knew the burden that God had put in my heart, I could tailor some of my projects in college to what the Lord was calling me to. And so in one of my semesters, the class project that the paper that I worked on was specifically the Bible and the fatherless. And between that and a very special group of girls who I'm sure the Hernandezes remember some of those girls that I was able to work with on Sunday afternoons, the Lord just opened my eyes to see that the need is just as great here in the United States as it is in Russia or Africa. Ukraine has so many children that are in orphanages, but we have children right here that need someone to come alongside of them with the hope of Jesus Christ. I graduated from Mountain States Baptist College in Great Falls in 2008, and right after that, planned on this trip. I was sure the Lord was going to take me back to Russia. But I went back to, the Lord opened the door to go to Kyrgyzstan for 6 weeks and then to go visit some missionaries up in Russia. And I was there for a total of 8 weeks. And I left here thinking, when I come home, I'm going to know exactly where God wants me. And when I came home, I knew exactly where God didn't want me. But I didn't know what the next step was. And I was discouraged. I didn't even tell people I was back in the country. I just kind of let them find out. Because I went with such excitement. I know I'm going back. But the Lord in each place, he just closed the door. But he also helped me to see some things. He helped me to see that there was a need for people who are starting ministries to the fatherless to have someone, come alongside of them who has some experience in that area to help them get started. Someone to help them once they've gotten started to help strengthen that ministry and then to maintain that ministry. And so after a lot of prayer, my dad was the pastor of the church here at that time, and after spending a lot of time in council with him, we sent out a survey to about, I think it was just shy of 110 pastors and over 30 mission agencies, just asking questions, trying to get a feel for what the perspective was on caring for the fatherless and ministry to the fatherless. And we were kind of shocked with the answers that we got. One of the questions on the survey that we sent out was, what, if any, is the biblical basis for this ministry? Most of the verses that we got back were just general Great Commission verses, which is great. It definitely applies. But even when we had someone come back with James 1:27, which specifically lists pure religion and undefiled as being visiting the fatherless and the widows, we only had one or two people respond, and some of them got the reference wrong. So we were like, wow, how have we missed this? And so we gathered up all of that information, and that is the very beginning of where Forbid Them Not Ministry started, with just wanting for people to see the need, to see that it's what God desires us to be doing, and going out from there to start, strengthen, and maintain ministries to the fatherless with the purpose of seeing the children saved, trained in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and then going out to serve the Lord. So really, that's where we got our start. Since then, so since 2009, the Lord has allowed us, primarily through the Green Bean Project, to work with missionaries in four countries: Kenya, Kyrgyzstan, Nepal, and to some extent Russia, with a friend of mine who's still working there. We have been able to take trips to Kenya on two occasions, and I'll share just maybe a little bit about that in my session this afternoon. But we've seen the Lord do some really exciting things there. We've been able to provide things that just help them in their work, things like textbooks for their schools, clothing, school uniforms, material to make clothing, just little things that are a great help when you're there and struggling through some of the things that they're struggling with. As we were working through this in about 2010, at the same time as we were working on this enormous project called the Job 31 Project to provide school uniforms for the children in Africa, the Lord really started burdening my heart for the needs here in Billings. And I started looking out, reaching out to see, how can we minister to the fatherless children? I didn't feel that the Lord was calling me to be a foster parent. I'm a single lady. I felt like bringing a foster child into my home is, we're reaching out to fatherless children. So I thought, well, maybe there's opportunities to volunteer. So I started calling different agencies, and I just got shut down. I thought, well, surely there's something that we can do. At one point, I considered seeing if there was a need or opportunity to start a children's home. And the state actually referred me to a man who had started one, I believe in Huntley, and I was able to talk with him, and he said, Rachel, don't do it. And I was like, what? He said, do not do it. The state makes it very, very difficult, and you can almost just, your hands are so tied, you have almost no opportunity to truly even have a chance at success. So I started praying, and the Lord began opening my eyes and burdening my heart for the need of the single moms, because they are the ones who directly care for the fatherless children in our community. the single moms, the grandparents who are raising their grandchildren, foster families that we can walk alongside of. And so in 2010, we started out not really knowing what we were doing, just praying and asking the Lord for guidance, and he put on our heart to have a clothing exchange. And so in 2010, we had the first clothing exchange, and it wasn't a huge success. We had maybe five or six ladies come. We tried to follow up. I was challenged. I had one lady say, if you really want to see this happen, if you want to help single moms, you need to come down where we live. So I did. I went down to the President's Streets, which for those of you who are from out of town, it may not mean a lot, but they're pretty rough. And I went down and I tried to make contact with her. And I think that meant something, but I was still growing in the process myself. It was a little step, and we didn't see a lot of success. We didn't see a lot of growth at that time. But little by little, the Lord just led from one step to another. We had another exchange the following year. We had another one later that year. And in 2012, I went back to Kenya for a second time. We had an amazing trip. The Lord did some awesome things, and I was ready to go back in 2013. And the tickets were $4,000, no matter how you routed it. And I was like, I can't justify $4,000 just for the tickets. So I had to call Brother Sang and say, I'm so sorry. I felt like I was just letting down 150 children with one phone call. I mean, it just broke my heart. And later that week, I was praying, Lord, show us a way that we can consistently and simply work with the single moms in our community to see this ministry grow and be established here. Well, that Sunday morning, I was here at church waiting for Sunday school to start, and my kids were all late for some reason that morning. I'd gotten the classroom ready, I'd prayed some more, and the kids still weren't there, so I resorted to flipping through my phone on Facebook. And all of a sudden, this post comes up where this lady says, does anyone know of an organization in town that helps single moms get their children to doctor's appointments? And I thought, how hard is that? I can do that. So I sent her a message. And that was the start of a relationship that lasted for over a year and a half. She was a self-avowed pagan. Didn't really like to talk to Christians. Didn't really like to talk about God. And I can't tell you that by the end of that relationship, when she had to move out of state, that she had come to know Christ. But I can tell you that over that year and a half, she had come to being willing to hear about Christ, which in the beginning of that relationship, she was not. And I know that a lot of seeds were planted. And even after she left the state of Montana and moved to Minnesota, she still would text me for quite a while after that. I haven't heard from her for a while, but I say all of that to say, the Lord has a very special work in working with these ladies and these children, and I'm excited for what we're going to talk about today. I forgot to bring my phone up here, so I don't know what time it is.
It's 10:46.
Perfect. Just one quick little story, and then we're going to head downstairs for a break. I can smell it. It smells really good, so I know we all want to get down there. One of the things, and we'll talk about this this afternoon, but one of the things that I've really seen the Lord has really taught me over the last few years is that we don't need to establish an enormous program. We just need to find simple solutions to vital needs, and we just need to be there. About 2 years ago, not quite 2 years ago, I found myself sitting in the Burger King downtown with a single mom who was weeping. She had just found out that the state was going to pursue termination of rights for all five of her children. And as we sat there, she said, Rachel, the rims are looking really good right now. And I said, no, driving your car off the rims is not an option. Let's talk about this. And so we talked through the things that she was struggling with, the hurt. I mean, she ugly cried right there in Burger King. I thought they were going to throw us out. I really did. But she just wept her heart out. And during that time, I was able to just encourage her to stay in church, to stay in the Word. And then we were kind of limited on time because I had to get back to work. But over the next few weeks, we just kept in touch. I would call her, I would text her, I would Facebook message her. And one day I get this Facebook message and she's all panicked. She says, Rachel, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have a visitation coming up with my kids and I have to make these sensory projects. And I don't have any of the stuff to make it and I don't have the money to buy the stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, well, I don't have the money to buy the stuff either, but let's pray about it and see what God does. And we started praying about it. And I shared the need with our Facebook group, and people there started praying about it. And within 24 hours, the Lord had brought in the funds to take her shopping for the needs that she had for these projects that were being required by CPS. So we went shopping, and that in itself was just a blessing. She was so price conscientious. There'd be two items. You could tell she liked this one better, but this one was 3 cents cheaper. So she would go with this one. It was just a blessing. And about, I think it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, she calls me. She's like, Rachel, we did the crafts today. I wish you could have been there. The kids were so excited. They were just beaming from smiling from ear to ear. And that was really just that simple little thing was what really helped keep that relationship going because she saw that we cared. And as we walked through that, I don't know if you're familiar with the process of reunification through CPS, but it is a very long, arduous process. And it's just plain hard. And several months later, I think it was about 3 months later, it was in January of last year, she and I and a friend from here at church were to get together for coffee. And she came in pretty late. She sat down and she just started crying. And she said, Rachel, I'm going to have to sign my rights away. And I said, why? Why do you feel that way? Why are you going to do that? She goes, I can't do it. I will never be good enough. No matter what I do, I will never be good enough. And so it was actually Allie. She and I sat there with this gal, and we just shared times from our lives when things had seemed impossible and the Lord had overcome. We shared from Scripture, specifically the story of Gideon, and how, man, it seemed impossible for Gideon, but the Lord did it. And at the end of that conversation, we talked for about 2 hours, and at the end of that conversation, she looked at us and she goes, you guys really know the Bible. And you know how to apply it to your life. I don't know how to do that. Will you teach me? And that's the goal. It's not just meeting the physical needs. That's a part of it. But the goal is bringing them to Christ, helping them see their need for Christ, and helping them to see how God can love them. I believe that the group of people in this room today has an amazing opportunity. I already mentioned that only 1% of American churches are reaching out to single parents. We can take the lead. We don't have to wait for somebody else to do it. We can take the lead. We can help span that gulf in that huge ratio of 41% of our kids growing up in single parent homes and only 1% of us trying to reach them. God says a huge amount about the fatherless in Scripture. He mentions them 43 times. And if you look at it chronologically, from Job all the way through the patriarchs, the laws, and the prophets and the kings into the New Testament, they're there and they play a very important role in our worship, in our obedience to God. So after our break, Brother Spilger will be sharing specifically about that, the why of ministry to the fatherless from a biblical perspective.